When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
That's deflected and picked off. Mosey, he'll take it in. It's a pick six and a touchdown.
The New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
Jets!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Joined by one of the Turn of the Jets, Badlands Zone, Draft Season Zone, Michael Megan. Meegs, how are we doing today?
Good. You know, saw another Jets win. Robert Saleh officially makes it another preseason without a loss. John Harbaugh, I feel like he's quaking in his boots now.
Yeah, I mean, look, Robert Saleh moves to 5-0-1 the preseason. Can't complain about that. Obviously, probably the most important of the preseason games just for the Jets. Obviously, you know, Zach getting hurt week one was not ideal, and, you know, they kind of ruined the momentum there. But, you know, we got some of the Jets starters finally got to see the starting defense, which actually looked, I know it's the Giants backups mostly, but looked a lot like what we kind of were hoping for. I guess initial reactions, obviously Jets win 31-27, Chris Traveler's the GOAT, all that stuff. But bigger picture, what was kind of your takeaway, you know, overall from today and, what you saw, you know, this week?
Obviously, Straveler, shout out to him. The backups have made like the second half at least entertaining, which is all you're really looking for in preseason football. But as the starters go, I was just happy to see the starting offensive line actually play together, because they're basically having four new guys in new spots in that regard. When they have Dwayne Brown at left tackle, Fant's back to right tackle, AVT moved, and then Lakin's obviously is new to the team. And you just really want them to build continuity. So I was happy that they could at least get out there for a couple of drives. I know the offense moved the ball. I really like to see Tyler Conklin look great out there. He was really moving well. So that was at least good. The offense was a little shaky. Flacco didn't look great, which doesn't really give you a lot of confidence for week one. But as the defense goes, this is like the first Jets defense in a while that actually looks fast. And like, I just feel like we've had so many years of the Jets just looking slow and just not being able to tackle. And these guys really hurried to the ball. So that was at least, you know, encouraging to see. And I just love how no one throws the ball at Sauce Gardner. Like, the guy's a rookie. No one's like, yeah, I'm not testing that guy.
Yeah, he's gone through an entire preseason now, not been targeted one single time, which is kind of nuts. I would say the Jets starting offense had kind of a weird day. I thought the first drive looked solid. Flacco overall 7-12, 76 yards, had the just disgusting interception that obviously, you know, stuff you don't want to see. And I thought Breece Hall had a nice, you know, nice run there. Obviously, Jets off, you know, Michael Carter had a few nice plays. Obviously, the fumble wasn't ideal. Overall, Berrios, obviously, the touchdown. We got to see a little Corey Davis early on, Elijah early on. Elijah trying to run people over is certainly a different Elijah Moore. We'll see how long that lasts before they tell him get out of bounds. But look, overall, you know, I was more focused on the defense, to be honest with you. I thought, you know, first time we see Carl Lawson, first time we're seeing Mosley in full game action this year. Quinnen, you know, over and over again with, you know, Sauce and, you know, these guys, obviously, you know, DJ Reed and things like that. But, you know, overall, LaMarcus Joyner makes a play, you know, early on, first probably play of camp that we've seen. Anyone's kind of seen LaMarcus Joyner in a maybe not necessarily in a negative way, but again, overall, you know, the offense, you would have liked to see a little bit more, especially facing primarily backups. But at the same time, they move the ball. It's just a turnover. The offensive line started to look better on that second drive, I felt like, more than they did. But, overall, I, again, no injuries to any of the starters. It's just huge. And honestly, just seeing Carl Lawson, the anger and aggression that dude is playing with right now, and it is something special. The Jets had sacks, turnovers, you know, their first team defense. Obviously a lot of fun, you know, out of Mike White and Chris Streveler, you know, moving the ball. Jeff Smith, obviously a touchdown. Barrios, the touchdown. Denzel Mims, I'm not going to take anything away from him. Look, the guy requested a trade, came out, and the Jets clearly fed Denzel Mims the ball. There's no question about that. You know, 7 catches, I believe 102 yards and a tutty. That touchdown was, you know, beautiful. And you see why there's that so much talent there and people don't want to give up on him and all that, you know, all that being said, you know, it's, you don't want to have your second round pick ideally from 2 years ago playing, you know, in the fourth quarter, in the last 2 minutes of the final preseason game with the fours. Were you surprised that Mims kind of played the way he did, or you kind of were expecting, you know, Mims to ball out and try to, you know, boost that trade value for Carolina or Chicago?
I mean, Mims is such a good athlete. Like, this is kind of the situation where he's supposed to thrive in, where he doesn't have to be like precise with his routes. He can just be big and fast, because that's why Mims was basically drafted, is that he was big and fast. So I was happy to at least see that, you know, like, you know, he made a big decision to make a trade request and, you know, he backed it up. And I was happy to see him playing well, making tough catches. I thought Calvin Jackson's had a really nice preseason as well. So it was good to see him catch that final touchdown, force that good PI. And, you know, we'll see what the Jets do with Mims. I know, you know, with Salah, they say like he's one of the 6 best guys. And I do understand the reason for wanting to keep him. It's that if Corey Davis goes down, all the other receivers the Jets have are kind of small. I don't think any of them are really above 6 feet, because I don't think Jeff Smith's that tall. Wilson, Elijah, and Barrios are all under 6 feet. And you, I know, like, they want him in regards to running the ball. You want the guys who can block a little better. So you want that more size with that Mims brings. But I just feel like there's like a trade that could happen. I was looking through a couple of Carolina Panthers writers. I know Terrace Marshall, who was a second round pick of them last year, who seems to have fallen out of favor there. Maybe there's a swap that could be had of 2 receivers who just need a new situation. And we know Matt Rhule loves Mims. So I think he will get traded in the next 48 hours. And maybe it's not the conditional 7th we were thinking. So, you know, hopefully he boosts it a little bit.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, you got to be happy for the guy. It's obviously unideal the way things have worked out, especially the last 24 months. You know, Mims obviously flashed a little bit, but I think, you know, kind of a learning experience for a lot of people watching is, you know, like some of those guys in that 2020 roster where it was just such an frankly atrocious team. Obviously everyone's kind of aware of that at this point, pretty much everyone's gone. Outside of a few guys, the guys that kind of flashed, the Ty Johnsons, the Mims, the Ashton Davises, like it's not worked out. And frankly, a lot of those guys looking good was because of how bad the guys around them were. So, you know, the Herndons, all these guys. So in terms of Mike White, Chris Streveler, do you still expect Mike White's the 3rd quarterback? I feel like it's at this point what'll happen, but at the same time, I thought they gave him a lot more reps. To me, meant, you know, are they trying to audition him a little bit, or, you know, or are they just going to have Streveler hopefully be the practice squad guy if he doesn't get scooped up, and they'll probably carry 3 quarterbacks week 1 and, you know, potentially 2 later on in the year.
I think you definitely could have seen, like, in the beginning of preseason of, like, trying to audition Mike White to see, like, what happened with Minshew last year. If you can get, like, a 5th or a 6th to be someone else's quarterback too. And but then I think when Zach got hurt, that plan kind of came, like, fell out the window. So I think White's going to stay. Obviously, they're going to have 3 quarterbacks one way or the other, just because with Zach's uncertainty for week 1. But, yeah, I think Streveler's going to either get claimed before he gets to the practice squad or sent to the practice squad. I would rather keep Streveler over White, just because I just think as an athlete, he just adds something new with LaFleur. If push came to shove, had to play him, I think when you give like LaFleur, a creative guy, like someone who can actually move, you can actually like kind of like fake an offense. Whereas Mike White, it's just if they cover up the checkdowns, he's just not really an effective quarterback. But I think he's going to be on the team. I think Flagg is going to be on the team. And if Streveler makes it to the practice squad, he'll be on the team.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page as you. I think, look, Flacco and Wilson are obviously going to stay. I would say it's more likely not until we'll see. The problem is Tuesday is cut down day. So, you know, you'll see some kind of maneuvering with Streveler and White and those guys. You know, Zach obviously biked early on today, which is important. No sleeve, no brace, no limp, the whole 9 yards. Doesn't look like there was any swelling just from the video we saw. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts doing some on-field stuff by this week. And if he does and he's practicing, I'm still not saying that like week 1's out. Like I understand like the, I don't know. I understand the kind of hesitancy with Zach, but Zach gives this offense a different ceiling than Flacco does, frankly. Like you look, the play that Flacco throws on the interception, like that play, Zach's probably running for 8 yards or making a move or doing something, hopefully not getting hurt. But the other kind of position battle I was curious about that we saw some today, Ty Johnson, LaMichael Perine, frankly, Tevin Coleman, but he's probably a lot to make the roster at this point. And Zonovan Knight, and Tevin Coleman looked far better than the other two. Do you think there's a chance, you know, Bam Knight makes the roster? He's a practice squad guy and they carry, you know, Carter, Hall, and Coleman is the first three.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
I want to see Zonovan Knight make the roster. He was the most intriguing UDFA for me when he was signed. I also think his ability as a kick returner, which you didn't really see today, but you've seen other preseason games, is interesting. If you want to make Berrios more of a full-time receiver, because it really looks like he's like a little higher than Garrett Wilson on the depth chart at the moment as the wide receiver three. If you want to just make Berrios the punt return guy, and then Zonovan Knight gives you that flexibility on kickoff returns to try to save Berrios from those hits. He really intrigues me. I think he just has more juice than Perine or Johnson at this point. Johnson's a talented, like in regards to being an athlete, but I just think his vision just isn't great. I think when he got stopped on the fourth and short today, I don't think that was really on the offensive line getting the push. I just think he made the wrong cut, and I feel like that happens too much. And as a receiver, he's just dropped too many passes. So I'm kind of over Ty Johnson. LaMichael Perine, he's just a jag. He's always been a jag. And I'd like to see Zonovan Knight make the roster. I'm curious if with Coleman, if they do one of those like veteran cuts where they have to move the roster and then they bring him back just because he knows the offense. You have three young running backs. You want that veteran in the room just for the meetings, and he's going to, you know, obviously this is important for the scheme, but I think in some way those would be the three or four running backs, and I don't think we'll see Ty Johnson or Perine after Tuesday.
Yeah, I think that similarly a tight end, I'd like to see it be Uzama, Conklin, Ruckert, obviously the full three locks, and then I'd like to see Cager make the roster. I think he's done more to show himself more than Yeboah, although I liked what I've seen from Yeboah. He's probably a guy you can stash again. And then I don't think that you saw anything from Wesco or Bodden, you know, throughout the process that's going to make you, you know, additionally keep one of them. The other position battle that, you know, we'll talk more about this. I'll talk more about this on Tuesday's episode and things of that nature. But once, you know, obviously the roster comes out, but Will Parks is the fourth safety, kind of seems like it should be a lock at this point. Although obviously it's going to be hard for Douglas to cut Davis, or we'll see what happens there. But, you know, Parks is playing the first and second quarter starting. You know, this preseason, he's looked good in camp, and Pinnock's a guy that the Jets like. I've liked Ashton, I've defended him, and I don't want to see the Jets cut him necessarily, but I don't know where he fits on this roster, especially playing, you know, garbage time in the fourth quarter of a third preseason game. Am I off base on Ashton? I know the talent physically is there, but it just doesn't seem like it's really clicked, you know, in the first couple of years here, other than, you know, sparing nice plays he's made.
Yeah, when Ashton Davis was drafted, he was always more like athlete than football player. Obviously, he got the football late as he was a track star at Cal. It really just – the light just hasn't really came on for him. And, you know, this is going into year three, and I just don't think you can really keep him because he hasn't really earned it. I think Will Parks, you know, has been fine. I think he's a good third and fourth safety. I like what they're doing with Pinnock. I see, you can see how much they like him and want to see if they can develop him. And I would just, rather have Pinnock than Davis. I don't think you need two developmental guys, especially when Joyner might, who really, we got hurt like in the third, the second quarter last year, the first game was out for the year. So
yeah, there's no lock. The random triceps injury.
Yeah, like there's no lock that he's going to be able to play the full season. I think you'd rather have a veteran and a developing guy than having two developing guys that could really harm your back end. Is that secondary something they really look to improve on this offseason, especially when they brought in Reed, Sauce, and Whitehead? So I think with Davis, and I think actually just for the 2020 draft class alone is just, you know, like we should be setting like an over-under of like 1.5 of how many of those guys get traded for a day three pick on Tuesday. Because I think Zuniga, I think Davis, and I think Mims are all can easily fall in that boat.
Yeah, there's they have the Jets for the first time in a long time. I think we'll see a lot of guys that get cut or traded or moved. Not only just claimed by other teams, but you know, obviously the Jets have been active and Douglas loves the waiver wire and the Quincy's and you know, the world. But you know, there's a lot of guys that are, you've seen Elijah Riley, you've seen other guys that, you know, get cut that were on the Jets roster, and like there was just more talent here than there have been in a long time, especially at, you know, running back, tight end. You know, defensive line is a big one. You know, Zuniga, Tanzel Smart, potentially, I think Jonathan Marshall makes it, but, you know, those type of guys and Bradley and I think the Jets would love to keep him. I don't know where he's fitting. Vinnie Curry, same thing. So, overall, kind of, we'll wrap with this, and obviously we'll have a more detailed episode, but want to get some out to you guys, you know, right after the game. Where do you kind of, where's your head at, you know, preseason's done, everyone other than, you know, Becton and Zach, you know, Jets should be good to go week one. Where are you at kind of, you know, mentally and expectation wise going into the season? Anything changed? You kind of on the same page as, you know, you were going into the season. I mean, going into the preseason, where are you kind of at with that?
Well, I mean, the Jets added a lot of pieces this offseason. And I think one of the biggest questions outside of what the quarterback's going to do is just how all these pieces would gel, how they would look, like how would the young players adapt. And I think all the young guys really showed like positive signs. I know Garrett Wilson made a couple nice catches. We saw Breece, especially today when he got to play with the first team offensive line, make some nice runs. That inside cut was awesome. So I really think that's encouraging. I think the new pieces are starting to gel. I just really think, as hard as it is to say and as boring as it is to say, it's the Jets are have the talent to be decent and be like in 7, 8, 9 win team, but it really just depends on how well the quarterbacks play. And why the Zach injury was so scary is what the Jets need to know by January of this year is how good Zach Wilson is. You just can't be going to year three. It's like, well, I think he could be this, or I think he could be that, and just have that like undecided thing. I just really have to know if Zach is the guy who you hoped he'd be when you take someone second overall, or if Zach is really just heading in the Darnold direction, unfortunately, and you have to pivot to another option at quarterback. So I still believe in Zach's talent. I think he'll be on the field at week two at the latest. I really do think there's a good chance he's there for week one. And I think that this team's going to be hovering around 7, 8 wins. I just don't think this division's very good outside of Buffalo. And a team has to finish second and a team has to finish fourth, but they should really be contending like in regards to Miami and New England, because they are on the same level of those teams. And I think this is going to be a funnish Jets season where they get like 7, 8 wins and they really have a lot of momentum for being a 2023 playoff team.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you. Obviously, I'll have, you know, more detailed prediction, the season preview guide coming out on Badlands and all those type of things. But, you know, I like what I've seen, some of the growth. I thought the Jets getting some of these guys reps in the preseason, especially the young guys. I mean, Garrett Wilson got a significant amount of reps. I felt like, you know, you saw the Ruckerts and Clemens of the world. But obviously, you know, some of these young guys, the offensive line got to play together. You look at last preseason, the first, you know, the first week of the season was like the first time the offensive line had played together all year. In real action, it was like the first time Elijah Moore really played, first time Zach really, you know, got reps with these guys. So thankfully that didn't happen this time. But yeah, we'll be back. We'll be back early next week. Two episodes coming out. Wanted to get some out to you guys, and obviously make sure you're following, you know, Meegs on Twitter. You know, make sure you're following, you know, subscribe to Badlands, whole nine yards there. But obviously Jets go 3-0 in the preseason. You know, good vibes going into the opener, and, you know, hopefully we'll see the Jets starting quarterback, you know, join them September 11th against the Ravens.